It's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. My special guest today is Kelly Fuller, who is with the Protect Our Communities. That is a nonprofit organization that, along with two landowners in the backcountry, has recently filed a lawsuit against the Interior Department and the Bureau of Indian Affairs to try to save eagles in the Tule Wind Project in East County. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about why you're filing this lawsuit.
We're very concerned about what's going to happen if this ridgeline portion of the Tule Wind Project gets built, because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has for a number of years been warning that golden eagles will be killed and that the nest sites near this ridgeline could actually become traps for the eagles, where they would be lured in by the attractiveness of the nest site and then get whacked by a wind turbine that would be less than 1,000 feet from their nests.
Now, you did some pretty extensive public record searches, I understand, FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request. Tell us what you found out.
We have done a lot of Freedom of Information Act requests, and what we saw in those records was evidence that the Bureau of Indian Affairs made its decision to authorize a lease on the ridgeline, which includes the Weapai Reservation,
right,
without having done the necessary analysis that is required by law. We also saw that time after time, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said, please, on the ridgeline, please either totally move the project off the ridgeline or redesign the turbine layout entirely. And they were told no.
Even the Bureau of Land Management, I understand, which has approved many turbines elsewhere on BLM land, public land out there, balked at this one and said, no, we're not going to approve turbines on the ridgeline.
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing. The BLM approved 62 wind turbines in McCain Valley, and the ridgeline's up above it. And
which is, for those not familiar, that is federal public land, public recreational area, and it's also the gateway to several of our most beautiful wilderness areas, designated federal wilderness areas in East County.
That's right. It's one of the last really wonderful remaining places where you can go in San Diego County and really get away from it all. There's campgrounds. It's a really great place. But the BLM, after listening to the Fish and Wildlife Service and listening to the California agency, Wildlife Agency, said, you know, because of the adverse impacts to golden eagles, we're not going to approve those ridgeline turbines. And in fact, they even counted not approving those ridgeline turbines as a mitigation for the project.
Interesting. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs has approved, I understand, up to 20 turbines to be built up there?
Yeah, they have approved a lease for up to 20 turbines to be built there. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they did that without doing the environmental analysis that is required by law. And they also...
And that's under the National Environmental Policy
Act. Under the National Environmental Policy Act. They're also, in violation of the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, which Congress passed several decades ago in order to make sure that America's magnificent eagles were protected from harm.
Yeah, and yet federal government recently approved these 30-year take permits for eagles, and I understand that Iberdrola, the developer of this project, is looking at applying for take permits. So even if they killed an eagle, there might be no consequences at all.
Well, here's the interesting thing. We're so used to thinking of the federal agencies as just caving in whenever a renewable energy project is proposed and not really standing up for wildlife. But in this case, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has so far anyway really stood up for eagles, and they rejected Iberdrola Renewables' permit application for a 30-year eagle take permit on the ridgeline. And they said, hey, yeah, Iberdrola, you've got to go back. It's not just the ridgeline, it's the entire project. And you've got to give us more eagle data, and you've got to reapply for the entire project.
Let's talk about that eagle data for a moment. the Weipai tribe. Native American tribes typically mm-hmm. revere eagles. They're considered sacred mm-hmm. in their culture. They typically protect them. And I understand mm-hmm. that the Weipai relied largely on the studies that were done mm-hmm. by so-called eagle expert David mm-hmm. Bittner, who took a lot of money from the wind company for this project and was actually convicted in federal court of a lot of wrongdoing related to his studies of eagles. Now, tell us a little bit about the Bittner case for those who may not be familiar with him.
Yeah, this was a really interesting situation where we had an eagle biologist who has done, or people working under his supervision, have done most of the eagle studies for San Diego County over the years. And he has been doing a lot of work on behalf of renewable energy companies.
All without a license, I might add. It turned out his license had expired years ago.
There was a portion of time that he did not have a permit, and he'd had the same problem in Ohio years ago where he had not had a bird banding permit that he was required. And so the government was very concerned that he was handling these eagles and other birds without permits to do so.
Yeah, the federal lawsuit found mm-hmm. that he had four freezers full of dead birds, including eagles and other endangered species that was apparently completely illegal to have.
Yeah. And he pled guilty, but then the big thing came about providing the data. And the judge required him, as because he got probation, to provide data. It's our understanding that that data is coming in and that Fish and Wildlife Service is trying to work out with him how to get it in a format that they can actually use.
Yeah, his argument was that the data on eagles that he did was proprietary, that the wind and energy mm-hmm. companies should have a right to it, and the federal government and the taxpayers should not have a right to get a look at that.
He's maybe one of the most extreme cases of that, but that's a recurring problem for the public, trying to get information on these projects, trying to get the mortality data.
So it's been estimated yeah. that there are, at most, 50 breeding pairs of golden eagles left in all of San Diego County, nearly all of those in East County. And yet we don't even know if that number is accurate. It might be even less.
Yeah, we hope that...
Or it might be more, and we're just not hearing about the nest. We don't really know.
I suspect the number's not more, because it's been declining. The number of golden mm-hmm. eagles has been declining for decades. And the golden eagles have this problem in that we keep coming into their habitat and building structures, building all kinds of things, and hanging out in their habitat. And that doesn't work for them, because eagles do not, in their natural wild state, coexist with human beings very well. They just want to get out of there. And so they keep losing habitat. They are being killed by transmission lines. There's just all kinds of things going on. And unfortunately, this project, especially the ridgeline portion, would be just adding even more mortality sources. Why kick a bird when it's down?
Yeah. We know, for example, that Altamont Pass has killed many, many eagles, hundreds, maybe thousands of eagles, mm-hmm. that one project alone. So these truly can be deadly when the birds fly into these whirling sharp blades.
And for years, people said, well, Altamont Pass is an exception, and it's really not a problem except for that one place. But what we found in Southern California is that as these projects are getting built, some of them really are killing eagles. So that old argument about it's just Altamont Pass doesn't seem to be true anymore.
Yeah, and I want to put a mention in here about bird radar. Some of the companies have argued that they'll put up bird radar and this will protect birds. Iberdrola itself, the developer of this project, told me in an interview a year or so ago when I walked the project with them that while they believe bird radar is effective in places like the Gulf Coast Flyway, where you have flocks of millions of birds coming in, that they did not see any evidence, at least at that time, that it was effective at all in being able to spot a large bird such as an eagle flying in, a single large bird. So that doesn't seem to offer any hope up there either.
Well, so far we've not seen Iberdrola propose bird radar up there. They have proposed to do some limited turbine curtailment, so turning off the turbines at certain times, but it is not enough to take care of the threat, mm-hmm. and it's not throughout the entire ridgeline, because there is eagle telemetry studies showing use of the whole ridgeline.
There's also noise level concerns, too, mm-hmm. because I know that where Iberdrola has built in Hardscrabble, New York, for example, they're being sued by mm-hmm. residents because they're violating the noise standard. It's simply putting out more decibels than what was mm-hmm. even allowed and what they said it would produce. And surely, does that have an impact on wildlife?
Noise can definitely have an impact on wildlife. We don't have a lot of good studies at this point about what the noise from wind turbines do, but certainly we know that roads, construction, those yeah. kinds of activities can have a negative impact.
So perhaps eagles could abandon a nest even if they managed to not fly into the blades. There's concern about whether they would be able to nest and raise their young there.
There certainly was a lot of concern during the building of the Sunrise Power Link for eagles abandoning nests, and there's some concern that eagles may have abandoned nests, so and this could yeah. have potential for the same thing.
As well as being hit by helicopters and so forth.
Yeah.
On another note, the Indian tribe that's there, mm-hmm. the Native American tribe that's there, the Weipai, is not one of the wealthier tribes. It's a small tribe. It's a remote location. They do not have the economic prosperity that, say, mm-hmm. some of the casino-owning tribes mm-hmm. might have. And you're not insensitive to the fact that they feel a need for economic prosperity, that presumably is, they're not here, but presumably that's the motive for them wanting to do this, along with perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, participating in renewable energy. But I understand that you have a proposed solution for that. Tell us about it.
We would like to see both the tribe and the Department of the Interior consider a land swap. The BLM and other federal agencies have a lot of land, and there may well be land near a freeway or near an urban area mm-hmm. where the Weipai could actually do some kind of economic development project, because they do get some revenue sharing from Indian gaming in California, but we understand that they want to have something that's more in their own control.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. So they could presumably maybe have an opportunity to build a casino or a hotel or something else that would generate revenues, and maybe it could even include some alternative energy, put some solar on that project to offset losing this site for turbines and keeping it protected for eagles?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very awkward situation in the sense that they are a sovereign tribe.
Right.
And I really don't want to try and specify what we think they should build instead, but we'd like to see a land swap considered, because we think that might be something that would both help people and help the eagles.
Yeah. So this is a lawsuit that's going forward in federal court. It is not the only lawsuit that Protect Our Communities has been involved in this particular project. There was a prior one that was decided against the POC, mm-hmm. and that one also had Backcountry Against Dumps or BAD and Donna Tisdale as mm-hmm. plaintiffs as well. And I understand that some appeals are moving forward on those.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the latest on that?
There are two separate appeals going forward. The groups are doing two different ones.
And was that about eagles or other issues?
Right now, I'm not going to say what they're about because we haven't filed the brief yet.
The original suit, though.
Well, the original suit, though, included eagles, included birds, concerns that not enough environmental analysis had been done of things like noise impacts, fire, all kinds of different things.
Right.
So these are going forward. And interestingly enough, in the original decision, even though the original judge found against us, the judge stated great concern for birds at the site. And so it will be interesting to see if the appellate judge feels the same way.
One other thing moving forward on this, and that is that for the Tule Wind site itself, it included turbines that were proposed not only on tribal land and Bureau of Land Management land, some county-controlled land that's already been approved, mm-hmm. but also some state-controlled land that's under the jurisdiction of the California Public Lands Commission that has not yet been approved. What is the latest status on that?
Right now, what we're hearing is in mid-December, the California Public Lands Commission will vote whether or not to lease land to the project. That could result in a few more turbines, could possibly result in some more power line or access road issues. So
more power lines, another Sunrise
Park? Not a Sunrise Power Link there, but one of the concerns with this project, and it shows just how difficult these siting decisions are, is normally on a wind farm, you put the power lines at the wind farm underground.
Yeah.
They didn't in this case. They didn't. They got permission to put them above ground in order to protect cultural resources.
Right. The Native Americans didn't want their ancestors disturbed.
But again, if you're having to build this where that's even an issue, it really shows what we've been saying for a long time, which is we don't have to make these kinds of terrible choices. We have got tremendous rooftop solar potential in San Diego County, all these roofs that don't have solar on them yet. there is a really interesting project going forward. We are one of the groups that have been pushing community choice aggregation. Mm-hmm. And what that would be is an alternative utility where that the people would have much more control over than they do over SDG&E.
Like what the San Diego Energy Foundation is proposing.
Yes, and someone from who was a co-founder of the San Diego Energy Foundation is actually on the Protect Our Communities board. So this is something we're really pushing for. We know the city has been conducting a feasibility analysis,
yeah.
And there's a lot of excitement about possibly doing this in the city. And our hopes is if the city went ahead and did this, that then the county would follow. And then people in the backcountry mm-hmm. would have much more ability to have a voice about saying what the power mix should be, because right now they're kind of held hostage.
So and you could support resources. Say solar on rooftops and parking
exactly.
lots. Exactly. And not in these remote, beautiful areas.
And we're starting to see some parking lot solar happening, for instance, in North County, mm-hmm. but there's a lot more that could be done.
I want to circle back for a moment to the California Public Lands Commission. Mm-hmm. Will there be a hearing held on that or an opportunity for the public to weigh in before that decision?
Unfortunately, they're not going to do it in San Diego. And we were really hoping that they were going to come down here.
Yeah.
But they are not.
That's one of the issues, isn't it? That they
yeah.
make these decisions far away without even seeing what's going to be impacted or hearing from the people concerned.
But people can still write in. And probably one of the best things that you can do is let them know that you've got concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be putting something, it's not up there yet, but we'll be putting something on our website soon, you know, directing the public how they can do that. And our website is www.protectourcommunities.org.
Very good. Is there anything else that you would like to add or would like our listeners to know about these issues that I haven't specifically asked you about, Kelly? And for those who tuned in late, we've been speaking with Kelly Fuller with Protect Our Communities.
I think people need to realize that the beautiful San Diego backcountry that so many people love is under dire threat right now. There are up to 19 renewable energy projects that the state and the federal government think could be going forward in the backcountry.
19 projects.
Renewable energy
these
projects.
These are not little. We're not talking about little rooftop solar here.
No. These are projects that would go in and that would threaten wildlife.
Thousands
and
of acres
change,
each. Yeah.
Really change their communities and industrialize them. And again, unnecessarily when we've got so much rooftop solar potential. The other thing people should know is there is a new state and federal plan called the Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan. In that plan, they propose a second Sunrise Power Link.
Wow.
And we know how the first one divided San Diegans terribly.
Absolutely.
And has caused great environmental damage.
And that plan also calls for opening up 22 million acres of desert lands across San Diego County to large-scale renewable energy projects, exactly the type of projects that are causing these problems out here in East County right now.
Well, San Diego County is one of the seven counties involved, and the total acreage for the DRACP is 22.5 million or a little over that.
How many of that would be in San Diego County?
That's a good question. It's not clear what would happen to San Diego County, and we're trying to get a clear answer to that.
So we might
it's
not get
very
the,
vague.
May or may not get projects, but we would certainly get this power link if it
well,
was approved as is.
And the important thing about the projects is they can put projects regardless whether they have this plan or not. What this plan would do is areas that are designated as development focus areas would be have what they call streamlining. They would have speeded up project review.
Fast tracking. Like we
yeah,
saw in
exactly.
Ocotillo. We all saw how well that worked out.
Yeah, so that is really something to look for. And again, this idea of a second Sunrise Power Link.
Where would that go?
Right now, they're saying they don't have the exact route, and they are thinking that it would go alongside the first one.
So that would be similar to the Southwest Power Link. Isn't there a security issue with that, apart from all the environmental things?
Well,
we've already got two parallel power
and
links.
And that's what's so interesting about that.
Southwest and Sunrise are already next to each other.
During the portions of them are. During the Sunrise Power Link approval process, the government said, hey, wait a minute. we can't approve it, just put it next to the Southwest Power Link the whole way, because that would be dangerous for terrorism, or if both something bad happened and they both went down the same time.
Right. What if you had an earthquake there? What if you had a wildfire that took them both out? Then we have no power anywhere in San Diego.
Yet the government, the state and federal government, now are apparently, from this plan, proposing to put a new Sunrise Power Link right next to the existing one.
So East County just becomes an energy sacrifice zone even more than it's already been.
Yeah, and that has real potential to be harmful to people who don't live in East County, because we all know about what happens when wildfires start and how they sweep out of the eastern part of the county and can come right into the city of San Diego.
Well, we all know that the biggest fire, you know, the Witch Creek fire, one of the largest fires in California history, started with power line issues.
Yes, and these very large lines, such as the Sunrise Power Link and this new one they would want to do, are really damaging, because if a fire starts, the firefighters can't cross under them. They can hamper the aerial firefighting equipment that's needed. So it's not something that should be just written off as an East County problem. If we fill East County up with power lines that either can cause fires or can make it harder to fight fires, that puts people in the city of San Diego at risk.
Yeah, and we've also exposed to problems on our show, such as the fact that when they built the power link through McCain Valley, same area we're talking about putting the wind farm with hundreds or dozens of turbines full of flammable lubricating oil, all these big projects got approved by saying, hey, we're going to get protection from the Boulevard fire station. Then it turned out it was closed for over 2 months during fire season. That got reopened, I understand, after our story ran. They approved some emergency funding. But then we found out that the foam truck that's supposed to be used to fight electrical fires, well, you know, because there wasn't a place to put it close by, they decided to stick it out in Moreno Valley that's 45 minutes or an hour away. So there seemed to be some real legitimate concerns about what really would happen if we had a fire. Granted, SDG&E does have some firefighting equipment, and to their credit, they've had, you know, they do try to jump on these faster than in the past. But nonetheless, how much can you do if there's no fire station open? We're losing the volunteer firefighters at all these rural stations. It's been a big problem with as many as 6 rural stations closed in one day, many days this year. I mean, how great a concern should that be?
It is something that people should be concerned about. Certainly the people in those communities are very worried. But again, the fire starts in the backcountry. It comes into the city of San Diego. And so this is a county-wide and a city of San Diego problem, not just a backcountry problem.
Yeah, so it's not just about birds, as serious as that is. There's a lot more at stake with these projects than that.
What I say to people is, if you love the backcountry, you need to get involved, because you're going to lose it if you don't get involved, because it is enormous what's coming down. Now, we know that it is possible for people to stand up and resist and change things. But if they don't, if they just say, oh, I'll let my neighbor to worry about it, or, oh, it's not going to be so bad, history doesn't show that works out very well.
Okay. And one last time, where can people get more information about Protect Our Communities?
Our website is www.protectourcommunities.org.
Thank you very much, Kelly, for joining us on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ.
Thanks very much for having me.